All right, let's move forward. Take out your document. There should be a few in the back. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Oh, what a blessing that above matrix viewing, we have scripture viewing. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader, but the deacon and everyone else turn. Again, there are a couple more nuggets I want to pull out of Ephesians 3:18. Then we shall be going to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. And if time allows, we shall corroborate something in Luke. In your document, turn to page 8. I want to focus on a few things that we went over in Bible study Wednesday evening. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, as we recapitulate and also reiterate a few maxims. Brother Deacon, just read that 18th verse again, and I know this is the third outing that we still seem to be in it, but we're in it. And we're blessed to be in it.
Oh, yes.
Amen. The 18th verse, Paul makes a definitive statement. Paul makes a definitive statement. In this statement, there is a revelation. And once this revelation is fully comprehended and internalized, it has great impact upon our lives. Very great impact upon our lives. See, what you know makes all the difference in the world of how you feel. We don't feel our way through to know. We know, and as a result of what we know, it dominates what we feel. Everyone has Ephesians 3:18, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon, why don't you start reading from there? Read the King James and then the Greek.
We're reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, first the King James Version.
Uh-huh.
May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
All right. Might as well go to 19. gives the purpose.
Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge.
Everybody say love of Christ.
Love of Christ.
That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Let's go to the Greek.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. In order that ye may have, having had...
Thank you for reading it. We have exegeted that. He's not gone off the record there and editorizing, but we have gone through this. We won't. No, time will not allow today. Here you have an indicative... you have a subjunctive... Aris. So he's reading that correctly. Read it again.
In order that ye may have, having had strength, to have apprehended with all the saints.
He's not going off the chart there. That is an aorist infinitive. That is... that which has already occurred might not be manifested, but it has occurred. Read.
With all the saints.
Now that makes sense, because if you put that in time and you put that in motion of progress, some of us know and some of us don't know, so you can't say with all the saints. But if you're talking about a completed situation in eternality,
yes,
we can say with all the saints.
Right.
At in eternity, in glory, five form, we all know. And Paul speaks in another place and he says that we look through a glass, what? Obscurely. That's now. But then what? Clearly. Huh?
Yes.
He's speaking of eternality, essence of what we will have realized in our glorified perfection in eternality. All right, read.
With all the saints, what the breadth and length and height and depth.
All right. Let's, go ahead, 19. This is the purpose.
And verse 19,
And
to know the excelling knowledge, love of Christ.
Now again, that's, what is that, Brother Deacon? I'm sure you got your Greek lexicon out, right?
Yeah.
That is a what?
Aorist infinitive.
That's an aorist infinitive. So to know, to having known. He's speaking of that which is in perfection or completion, the ultimate end of that which we shall all realize.
Oh, yeah.
But he speaks of it as having occurred here.
The excelling knowledge, love of Christ.
Everybody again say love of Christ. Oh, that's the best thing you got going for you. That's the best thing you got going for you.
Amen.
That's better, my God, that's better than anything.
Amen.
That's the bottom line.
Yes, sir.
The love of Christ. Everybody say it again, the love of Christ. Finish it up.
In order that ye may, having been filled.
So you may be having been filled. You see, you say, Paul's crazy. No, he's not. Everything here is an accomplished fact in God's decree. And we don't rate a thing based upon what we see.
That's right.
We rate a thing based upon what it is. Last night I was watching National Geographic Channel, and I'm going to get copies of that. I want everybody here to see it. In fact, we might take a couple of perfecting classes to go through that. It was an exercise. It's called, It's called brain games. And it shows that your brain programmed to receive things that are not true. You pick things up, and this is why six or seven people can see the same thing and come out with six or seven different conditions. Also, they demonstrated that you can't even go by what you physically hear. You know. So, our focus must always be on what we know rather than what we've seen. What we know is what he has said. How do I know what he said? It's right here before you. In the Word of God. So that which is not based upon what is seen. Let's go to the bottom of page 8. We were dealing with this in Bible study Wednesday night. And I want you to put a little star about that. I want each and every one, those that are watching, you can go, are listening, you can go to the audio section of our website, www.gracegospelministrytry.com or .org, and there's an icon there. If you click it, this document comes up. Amen. The bottom of page 8, where it says the extremes. Everybody see that?
Amen.
It reads the extremes of antithetical entropies. Antithetical. Opposing. Of the opposite. Entropies. Disorders. So the extremes of opposing disorders don't preclude, prevent. So the extremes of opposing disorders don't prevent accomplishment of God's purpose according to the pleasure of his will. I'm going to repeat that. And I've made a conclusion that we're going to slow down, and I'm not even worried about how long it takes us to get. You need to get this. You need to get this.
Yes.
There are some things out there that are going to challenge you much more than they have in the past.
Hallelujah.
And the reflection of those things that will be communicated to the mind will be enough to almost cause you to lose all faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going by what you see.
Mm-hmm.
What this is saying is that the extremes of the contrasting and opposing disorders, and that's what you get in this environment of depraved creation. But remember this, according to Romans chapter 8, the depraved creation was subjected by God according to purpose. So the things out here that are wearing you out and making you miserable, they are designed by God. And if they are designed by God, they are controlled by God. And the thing that we've got to understand is that we are the recipients of the love of God. Which means that in the ultimate end of things, these things are not a threat to us. They're not a threat to us.
That's it.
The idea is to look into the Word of God and understand a few things. First of all, they do not prevent accomplishment of God's purpose according to the pleasure of His will. That thing went down the way it did because it is in God's decree. It can't manifest other than what is in God's decree. If it's decreed, it must manifest. If it's not decreed, it can't manifest. And the thing is, how much confidence do we have in God that this thing is according to the pleasure of His will? Do you have confidence in God's will? As we continue, neither the manifested ages of chaos nor assaults of conflict are ever a barrier to His power and wisdom in innocence. Again, neither the manifested ages of all the crazy stuff, nor the assaults of conflict as we view them. And we're going through a lot of changes that we don't need to go through. Last night in that program I was telling you about, they took a woman's hand and they made a replica of her hand. And they put her hand on the table and they put the replica of her hand on the table. And they did some exercises on both of them. And then all of a sudden he took a hatchet and hit the replica. And she went, ouch! That's what's happening. We're looking into the matrix. And we're saying, ouch! Woo! Say, Pastor, you're crazy. No. If you don't understand this, these are the things that will make you question God's ways and His will and His motives. And even question whether He loves you. You be like the man who survived. Now here he survived. He survived the Twin Towers catastrophe. And his testimony, they show you how depravity works. God has to come in and arrest our minds. God has to reveal this to us. Common sense, the human sense, doesn't work in the right capacity. Because he is saying, I used to depend upon God to protect me. I don't know about that anymore. Now, the exercises that we have been conveying and will continue to convey is that you cannot depend upon what you look into the matrix and see.
That's it.
Repeat after me. It's in the saying,
it's in the saying,
not the seeing.
Not seeing.
It's not. It's not. And a thing is more about what its purpose is than what it seems to be. Otherwise, things aren't going to make sense. And that's why we say, this is crazy. And it makes sense, it just doesn't make sense to us. Notice now, at the bottom of page 8 again, are you with me? Mm-hmm. Hence, what must be comprehended is what are measured in view of God's Here we have the Greek word platos. So what must be comprehended is what is viewed in terms of platos. Here they render it breath, yet it's denoting the uttermost of God's actualized intent or purpose.
Yes.
Everybody say God's
actualized
intent and purpose.
And purpose.
So it's not about what it is. What it is is not within itself.
No.
Nothing exists within itself. Everything exists in the essence of what God's purpose is for it.
Amen.
That thing showed up for purpose. You think that thing showed up to kill you, but it showed up for purpose. You say, yeah, but it's killing me. No, it's not. You're just like that woman put a hand up on top of that table, and he didn't hit her hand, he hit the prototype. And she went, oh! We cannot depend upon a man's and what is conveyed in a man's. Here, this word platos is not a physical dimension. It is a spiritual dimension. Now, when you get to the other three, you enter physicality. But what Paul conveys here is the dimension that controls the others. What is in spirituality is real. What is in physicality is actually not reality, but what they call virtual. Of virtuality. Platos. Purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
Getting to the bottom of page 8. This spiritual dimension. Everybody say spiritual dimension.
Spiritual dimension.
Is solely the determinant that controls what manifests in the physical, secular, time-space dimensions, which are characterized, this is the time-space dimensions, they're characterized as mikos, which is rendered length, isos, which is rendered height, phathros, which is rendered depth. These latter physical dimensions are expressed in what is observed in measures of outlining or delineating manifestations or testimonies of creatures and occurrences on the matrix. In other words, we got to distinguish what is through purpose from what is depicted for testimony purposes on the matrix. In the matrix, you got what? You got three dimensions. You got what? You got width, you got height, and you got depth. This is all physical. And this is what we depend upon. Now, most of us, we go, even though our contract with Paul writes it, he said, we walk by what?
Faith.
Then he says, not by sight. What is it about not by sight we don't understand? Another place he writes, we are not looking at the things being seen, but the things being
unseen.
Because the things being seen are what?
Temporary.
They're virtual. And the things not seen, the spiritual, what?
Eternal.
Now here it's telling us, don't trust your eyes. Oh, you going to tell me you don't trust my eyes? All right, then let's just rip these pages right out of this book. Go on out there, lose your mind like everybody else.
Oh, man.
Because things are going to get worse.
Worse.
Not better. I know this is not what some want to hear. And the politicians, they're adept at telling people what they want to hear. Poor preacher. Politician can stand there and he can lie to you. The dedicated preacher, he's committed to the truth. Politician tells you how smart you are. The preacher's got to come along and tell you how dumb you are. The politician come along, the wisdom of the American people. and the poor preacher got to come along and say, lean not to your own understanding. The politician come along and tell you how good you are. Poor preacher's got to come along and tell you you're to pray. And because men like the accolades and men, many preachers have become politicians.
Come on, come on.
My job is to stand here. What did I tell the ministry? Call your text, which we did. What? Exegete your text, which we did. Explicate what you preach was there. No flesh loves what the Word of God says. Why are you thinking Old Testament? What did they do to God's prophets? They killed them. What did they do to the disciples? Killed them. What did they do to the apostles? Killed them. Why? It wasn't that they didn't like Paul. The thing. The thing was, it wasn't about Paul. They didn't like what Paul was saying.
Amen.
They didn't like what Paul was saying.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. But our job is to preach what's here. And when we get through preaching what's there, sit down. Because you're in trouble as soon as God start talking and you start talking.
Amen. Amen.
That's where the truth stops and the lying begins. Life is not like it seems when you're looking into the matrix. Now let's look at this. Yet what is not observable in the physical form is unseen as it imbues the unlimited essence of God's decree in internality, in the soul actuality of residing existence. So here what we have to do is we have to depend upon not what we see but what God has said. Now there's the bottom line to this thing. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Ah, Lord. Okay, Brother Deacon, for time's sake, let's go straight to the Greek. And we'll be back to this passage, though. Am I through with it? In fact, we just started, you know. And I have no trepidation. I have no problem of going back over the same thing over and over and over again. Amen. Pastor used to say, teaching is what? 90% repetition. So we don't have no problem going back over it. Read.
We're reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans.
Now, those of you who have the King James, just follow along. We got a little time problem here. Read.
Verse 38. For I have been persuaded.
Now, you know why he said it like that? But Deacon, that Greek word, pepisma. Pepisma. What is that, Brother Deacon?
Perfect indicative.
That's a passive. Indicative mood is what?
Fact.
Perfect tense is what? Completed action with what? Ongoing effects. And so what Paul does, so he draws back to eternity and says, I am persuaded in time because I was persuaded in eternity. That God had pre-purposed and prearranged my persuasion.
That's right. That's right.
Now he does this. You notice that, Brother Deacon, what voice is that in?
Passive.
That's in the passive voice.
Mm-hmm.
Which means Paul didn't persuade himself.
No, he did not.
That means he was on the other end of the persuasion.
Amen.
He was not on the acting part. He was on the receiving part of persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
For I have been persuaded that not death,
mm-hmm,
nor life,
uh-huh,
nor angels,
uh-huh,
nor rulers.
Hold, stop. That word of keys, Dave. You remember the exercise we went through? That word could either be translated rulers or beginning, depending upon the context. A key. Now, here he translated rules, but what comes next after that?
Right.
Nor what?
Nor things present.
Stop. So if you're going to be talking about things present, you got to be talking about the beginning.
Right?
So that should read, nor the beginning, nor the present. Not what has been, not what is. Read.
Nor things coming.
Things. See the context here? The beginning, the present, the future. Past, present, future. You see the context.
That's right.
So that word there should be beginning. Of what originated. Read.
Nor powers.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 39.
Mm-hmm.
Nor height.
Uh-huh.
Nor depth.
Now he's into the physicalities of those things that we're seeing and we're taking in. And what is he saying about them?
Nor any creature.
So in case, as he goes through these litmus, in case he left something out, in case someone brought anything else up, are nothing else in creation.
Right.
Like Paul said, nothing can come up. I know I didn't cover it all, but if that thing pops up, you put it in the same category. What about it? Read.
Nor other in creation will be able.
Here again, you got that Greek word there, Brother Deacon. What is that? It is an indicative
aorist.
No,
perfect indicative.
No. That is an indicative future. Yeah, I'm looking at the ending there. That's an indicative future. Now, how can Paul speak of a future fact? How can he be so confident to say nothing can come along and mess me up? And you know you're not walking around here all every day talking about, hey, nothing can mess me up. But you know what you have, you have that right. I'm looking at the ending. Yeah. That's why we're gonna go through and learn how all of these, the clinches and everything. Okay. But the essence of this is that he makes a confident,
right,
of what we would call a bold statement,
right,
that none of these things can mess me up.
Glory.
Now we go out here every day and it looks like everything.
Mm-hmm.
you turn on the news and you see where you know, the economy is threatening you, the ecology is threatening you, everything, you know. Asteroids heading toward the earth and just missing us. That thing is hit. We wouldn't be here this morning, would we? Huh? But you know what? What Paul is saying, if it hits, it can't mess me up. Because you are who you are. You are more who you are in the body of Christ than who you are in these bodies. Who you are in these bodies is temporary. Who you are in the body of Christ is eternal. Who you are in these bodies is virtual. Who you are in the body of Christ is real. Preacher, you crazy. No. We're going to preach it, and if it's there, if that's what it says, that's what we're going with.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Yes, I had another little exercise on that. I'm going to find a way to record that, and we're going to go through that. Here they had the word red, but it was, the fonts were blue. And because it said red, many people saw red. Like somebody write R-E-D and the letters are blue. But it reads red. You know what your brain would, some people, some brains would do? They said, what color is that? They said, red. So no, it was blue. And they went back and they flashed up again. Oh, yeah, I see. That's just in life. We go, oh, Then when the word of God comes, they say, oh, yeah, I see.
Amen, yes.
That's what the word of God is coming to teach us and show us. Now, this is not the kind of preaching that, you know, you're not going to fill the house with it and so forth and so on. Five ways how to do this and that, so forth and so on. That's the diet we've been fed.
Yeah.
But then this is why we don't understand many things.
That's right.
This is why there are so many question marks.
Questions.
Because we have an agenda and this is how we think things should be. And when it don't come out that way, we still looking, and our brains are still telling us that it's red and it's blue. And we don't understand things. Let's go to Luke. Luke? Yeah, Luke. For corroboration.
Glory.
Let's go to Luke. Chapter 4, verse 16. And we wonder why things happen a certain way in life.
Mm-hmm.
And go, that's not right. And we said, Lord, what is this? And if we're going to ask the question, we shouldn't say, what is this? What we should say,
what is this for?
In the Old Testament, he said, my ways are what?
Not your ways.
And my thoughts what?
Not your thoughts.
What is it about that we don't understand? We have agendas, we have these imagined itineraries, and we set things up, and we all messed up because our itinerary didn't go through. That couldn't show up in the matrix because it wasn't decreed. Not the way you wanted it.
That's it.
All right. Just going to do a little bit of reading. Everybody got an amen?
Yeah.
That's Luke chapter 4, verse 16.
Reading from the King James Version, the book of Luke, chapter 4, beginning verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up.
This is Jesus. Goes into the synagogue.
For to read.
To read. Now, he's really not reading anything new to them. He's reading what's in the book of prophecy. But when they read it, and what they had gotten from it was far from what it was. So when Jesus comes along talking, he doesn't make sense to them. Read.
Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah.
To read from. Read.
And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel
to
the poor.
He's just reading. All thing he's doing is he's reading from the prophecy. But what was written was different from what they saw. Or what they thought they saw in it.
Right.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
Uh-huh.
To preach deliverance to the captives.
Mm-hmm.
And recovering of sight to the blind.
Mm-hmm.
To set at liberty them that are bruised.
Mm-hmm.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
That's the Lord's coming to deliver us. So far, he's reading. And they're with him.
And he closed the book.
But then he closed the book. But Jesus can do that now. If I stand up here one day and close the book, somebody come to my rescue. I mean that. But Jesus closed the book. And then what did he do? What did he say?
And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
This thing's already done. That's something like somebody walk up to you and say, "Hey, your bills are already paid.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
You never have to worry about it. Your body is completely healed. And not thinking. Not understanding." And then when he said this, they loved him. No, they didn't. What happened?
And all bear him witness. And wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this Joseph's son?"
Said, "Hold it, wait a minute. It's a gracious thing to say, but who said it? Is this Joseph's son? How can you come and tell us that these things are all in order when all we see is disorder?"
Right.
I remember at this point, they're under the control and domination of the ruthless Roman government. And he's coming telling them all this that's prophesied is done. Now we spent what? We spent 4.5 years on scripture distinctions of what? Actualization, what? By God's decree in eternity from what? Manifestation in time. If you don't understand that, you won't understand this Bible. What is actualized is in God's word. God said it. It exists now.
That's right.
What's in manifestation is sequenced. Keep reading.
And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself."
Hey, if that's the case, man, heal yourself. You big, you bad, heal yourself. Show us something. And Jesus goes on to explain to them what's happening. And this is what the Word of God does. It explains to us purpose over process.
Right. Come on, Pastor.
I'm going to repeat something I said Wednesday night. Do not confuse God's purpose with His process. Again, do not confuse God's purpose with His process. The purpose is the essence of what it is. The process is the testimonial aspect of conveying it to you in sequences. Salvation is not a process. I know we've been saved from we're being saved and we shall be saved, and some theologian wrote that. Theologian I have a lot of respect for. Just because the theologian wrote it doesn't mean you're not on your way to heaven.
No.
It's complete.
Done.
Read it.
Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said,
there is an answer to them. Okay, so what you're saying is happening, bring it here. And Jesus said, no. We're not in eternal mode. We're in manifestation mode. We're in testimony mode. But I'm going to tell you what it is so that you can separate purpose from process. Read.
And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country.
Keep reading.
But I tell you of a truth.
I'm telling you the truth.
Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the heaven was shut up. 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent.
Stop. He said, he brings to them a case. He said, there were many widows were in the land, and there was starvation to all. But God only sent his prophet to one widow. And during that time, probably a lot of people died. You know, God, come on in here and heal. God, come on in here and straighten this economy out. God, come on in here. Follow me closely. This is the difference between process and purpose. God could have gone in there and straightened the whole situation out.
Yeah.
But that was not his purpose.
Perfect.
God's will moves and is dominated by his purpose.
Yes.
That thing that's bothering you. That thing that's almost killing you.
Yeah.
That thing that's depressing you. Will it move? Yes, if it's God's purpose. Will it move? No, if it's not God's purpose. I know you you don't like that kind of preaching. No. They didn't like it then. Well, keep on reading. So he gives them another example. Keep reading. So I'll tell you something else.
But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow.
Right.
And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet.
And many lepers were in Israel at the time of what?
Elisha the prophet.
Many people were sick with leprosy, which was like a death sentence in that day. Keep reading.
And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian.
Could he have cleansed them all? Could have. The man that in the Gospels that he cleansed of the lepers, you know, with the 10, and then only one came back, and it was one came back, and so forth. Well, that was testimony. Say, amen. The one was no better than the nine. It wasn't about them. Many sick, many depressed, many in famine. Read.
And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath.
Why? Because, let's go back to what he said. In the day there were many...
And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet.
Uh-huh.
And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian.
Went to a man who was an outsider. He didn't cleanse not a one of them. Yet they're all clean. So how do you know? Because they're God's elect. If they're truly of Israel, they were God's elect. In eternity, some of y'all looking at me straight. In eternity, in the essence of reality, they're all made whole. We are complete in Christ right now. But it was God's purpose to go there to deal with one man for testimony's sake. Do not confuse God's purpose with process. Your body's not healed this morning. It's not God's purpose to this point. He may come and do it tonight, this evening, this afternoon. You know. Last Sunday I left here, my right knee was like on fire. You know, it's called arthritis. And I would have welcomed some relief. You know, we've gone through this thing where we've had the faith healers like Oral Roberts and the rest, and they heal, heal. And I wonder sometimes when they lay hands on people's head and they shake them and pushing them, heal, heal. And they're hollering and screaming, who are you hollering at?
I hear you. Yeah.
The Lord, oh, he's hard of hearing. Repeat after me. Do not confuse God's process with his purpose. Ultimately, it's already done. Everything that he said is fulfilled. It's fulfilled in the heavenlies. It's fulfilled in the essence of God having spoken it, because that's when a thing actually comes into being. That's where it really resides, in eternity, not in time. You're looking down in time and you're gauging, that's where it is. All you're doing is looking through a virtual reality tube. It wasn't his purpose. And they got mad with him. Ooh, breathe, finish that.
And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath.
They were outraged. And in those days, you know, instead of just talking about you, what did they do? Read.
And rose up and thrust him out of the city.
Threw him out of the city, but they went through with him.
And led him unto the brow of the hill,
uh-huh,
wherein their city was built,
uh-huh,
that they might cast him down headlong.
Throw him off the cliff head first. Because that's what you do with a prophet. That's a false prophet as far as they're concerned. Because he was a false prophet because it didn't line up with what they were seeing.
It didn't line up.
And here was the God of their salvation, saying it, but they were going by the saying, they were going by what? They were going by what they saw. Finish that up. Give me about 5 minutes. And I'm gonna
but he, passing through the midst of them, went his way.
Okay, now, that's where we need to go to the Greek. We don't have time today. Basically, again, this week, they introduced a new camera that can produce 1 trillion frames a second. Did anybody hear that? 1 trillion frames per second. Yeah. Time, space, as we've just looked at here, you can't separate time from space. Time is a what?
Creation.
Time is a creation. Just as space is a creation. And what you have is all of these trillions of frames. And it is our conscience that's moving through the frames.
Amen.
Now, time in the Word of God, God doesn't bother to go through the complete process. So you don't have to go from A to get, you don't have to go from A to B to C. You can go from A to C or A to D.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Preacher, what are you talking about? Follow me here and then I'm going to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he wasn't there anymore.
That's right. He was not there.
That's right.
Somebody said, then how did he get there? How did he? It was never put into the frame. Remember when they were out fishing and Jesus showed up? And then all of a sudden, what happened? They were at the shore. How did they get to shore? It wasn't necessary. The process isn't necessary. It is only the purpose that counts.
Oh, glory to God. Amen.
There are people who have received healing after the doctors have said. That's it. And then by the doctor's testimony, they go back to the doctor and he said, it's not there anymore.
It's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Heal. Mm-hmm. Glory. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then some will take that and say, amen, God's going to heal you because he healed that one. Oh, no. People get a disease and they're healed. Some people get a disease and they die.
Yeah.
But the essence of it is that you're taken care of. What did we just read in Romans? For I have been and am persuaded that none of these things can mess me up.
None.
Nothing can separate me from the love of God. No. I'm an heir of God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm the son of God. I'm an heir of that which belongs to Christ. Amen. And no matter what happens, Paul said, yeah, they took me into the guillotine. Well, there was no guillotines at that time. They put me on the chopping block and they